day. I've sort of lost count. No, it's day 15 and it's marooned at MacBytes headquarters. How are we all? Right, we have already got in here. You'll notice the chat. Yes, can't get the staff. Chat from yesterday is still there, but no problem. We can carry straight on. And I have pressed the button, so we're now actually live. So today on Shopping with Grandma, they didn't have the right type of melon. Oh no, that's a crisis. But you have been redeemed because they did have the toothpaste. Excellent, Jonathan. Our shopping extravaganza rumbles on in more ways than one. We'll come on to that. Hello, Kim. Dentists are boring. I'm joining you. Yay! I have a lovely dentist, but he's the only dentist I've ever had who's lovely. The implantologist was cool, but he's the only dentist that's lovely. I'm now panicking that he might move or something. It's all right. I'd move with him. I've told him straight he's not allowed to move. Oh, I think I mentioned just at the time, he's less inclined to move now, just got a new baby. So daddy for the third time, my dentist. So he's a little bit on the busy side. And now he's home all day, so that should be fabulous. Right, Mike is in the other room. Our business life has exploded. You know, everybody's wandering around saying how bored they are. Mike and I are looking at each other like, what? What's bored? What's spare time? We worked out the week. We worked out that we were doing after hours on Friday. Mike is facilitating one of the circle meetings on Thursday. They wanted a test on Wednesday. So all was well. We had Monday and we had Tuesday. Guess what? Yes, excrement, air conditioning. So Mike is now actually in the other room facilitating their first training session and they're all really apprehensive. They're using Zoom and I think I would say everybody in here has used Zoom. Let me know if you've used Zoom or not. Hello, Paul. That's dedication given the time in Sydney. So he's teaching them, but they're very, very nervous. So he's doing that tonight. Tomorrow, they're going to have a council meeting, which is basically a smaller meeting. It's a subgroup of the circle. So he'll be in there for that. I think tomorrow's might be later, but I'm not sure. So we'll work that out. That means Wednesday's back on the calendar at the moment. But Thursday, he's doing their other meeting. Friday, we've got our marooned and after hours. We've just been commissioned. You know, we had a fabulous, fabulous time on Saturday. I told you all about it yesterday. It was an online party. We'd taken our end of year party that we'd booked a hotel for. Incidentally, they've still got our deposit. They think we should have our end of year party 6 months from now. Can't see that working myself, but we'll see how that goes. So we took the party online and it went on for 7.5 hours. Oh, can we party? And I promised I'd show you the pictures on Friday night as well. So I will. Got to get all of those. But so much has happened today. Remember the article Mike had published about 11 months ago? It was in a magazine called Katina and it was all about the radio station. So there was him there with one of Lola's pups in his arms and picture of the studio and the story of the radio station. If you fall asleep, Paul, that's absolutely fine. You've got a perfect excuse given where you are. So that article that went in that magazine. The latest issue of the magazine came out a couple of days ago. So today we thought, oh, nice, gentle, ease ourselves into the week. Yeah, that went really well. The day started at four o'clock, but I'm going to come back to that story. But as soon as I'd ventured out, I was lay there thinking, don't really want to move. And I thought to myself, you know what? Why don't you want to move? And I thought, because the second I leave the comfort and security of the MacBytes bedroom, the excrement will hit the fan and I'm not ready for it. Not interested today. So I ventured in the office and I said, any crises? And Mike went, no. I thought, oh, right, I'm all right then. So in I came. But within half an hour, he'd had a call. Then he had an email. And basically what's happened is one of the guys who was at the party on Saturday had such a fabulous time. And he is now in charge of. So if circles, the usual level, and council's a subgroup, province is a supergroup. Province is nine circles worth. Well, the guy who runs province has commissioned another party. Can't get another party fast enough. So he wants a party, not just for our group of people in our circle. He wants a party for the entire province, which is probably about 50 miles round us. So it looks like that Saturday got to be in two places at once again. Not satisfied with that, he himself got onto the editor of the magazine that Mike had the first article published in, and he's commissioned an article all about it. So I just looked at Mike and said, right, if you could just arrange 48 hours in a day, I'd be grateful. So that's where we were at with that. So I've spent most of the afternoon putting that article together and sorting out the other major calamity. So Paul's saying he's used Zoom. I think most people have at the minute. It just seems to have been V1. Now, we're going to have to think about this party. You see, this is something you wouldn't think you'd be thinking about with tech. What's the best way to run an online party? And you could use Zoom, you could use the radio station, or you could do it on YouTube. Interestingly, you know, I mentioned that mass last night that I put up for the priest, the ever so shy priest. If you'd met him, you would not believe that, but he's very shy on video. That got a copyright notice against it twice for the two hymns it included. And I thought, really? Really? You know, in these times, you can see we actually created an account that is for the church. It's not my account. It's actually for the parish. So they know it's a church account. And you can see, you know, that's not just some random dressed up. That's the priest in the church doing the mass. And you get two copyright strikes. Yes, people really do go for copyright over hymns. I mean, that's just criminal, isn't it? Yeah, I wasn't pleased either. It doesn't go against your account, so that's the good news, but it's a copyright claim rather than a copyright strike. A copyright claim means that even though I hadn't monetized the video, because we're not interested in that, we don't want adverts popping up, you know, can you wait 30 seconds for the next bit while we just show you this advert? I hadn't monetized it. But to pay the copyright claims, YouTube have monetized it, and there's nothing I can do about it. Now, it does give me an option to remove the hymns. And I'm thinking, but what does that actually do? Do you cut the whole chunk out of the video, or do you just mute the thing so people think the sound's gone? So I thought, I'm just going to leave it there, and I'll just have to explain to him you can't include the hymns if you don't want it monetized. Like, I did not need that. That I did not need. Plus the fact, I haven't actually told him yet. You're going to love this one. I haven't actually told him that the video's on YouTube. He thinks the video's on the homepage, which it is. You've probably seen it. Put the link in last night. But I didn't tell him that the video was hosted on YouTube, because the only other way that we could host the video would be to host the video on S3. Now, S3 you have to pay for. Now, it's not expensive, depending on the file size, etc. You pay for the number of hits and you pay for the bandwidth. But, you know, it could mount up when you've got 500 people from the church watching a 1 gig video. So we didn't go that route deliberately. But once he finds out it's on YouTube, he's going to go mental. I'm just hoping at the moment he won't notice. But I do believe people are saying that, oh, love your video on YouTube. Like, don't mention YouTube to him, because he automatically assumes that he doesn't want to get involved with anything like that. No Facebook, no Twitter, no YouTube. Now, sometimes we can work around that behind his back, that he's not got a clue it's going on, like Twitter. But he won't have a bar of Facebook. The thing is, Facebook have actually created themselves now, have created a page for the church. They create a page for every single business on the planet. And they consider a church to be a business, and you have to claim it if you want it. Now, how you claim it is you fill in the form, and part of that is them proving who you are. And how they do that is to ring you and give you a code number, and then you punch the code number into the website. So they use the phone number that is advertised for the business, and that, in their mind, is enough to prove that that is the business. But I can't do that, given that the phone number is the phone in the presbytery. What's this number, and why did they say they were Facebook? So I can't do that unless I can get him on holiday. And there's not much chance of doing that at the minute, is there? So the page for the church is still there. And the thing is, what they've done is, because it's so close to the parish centre, which is literally just behind it, we have the church, the parish centre, and then the school, all in a little row. parish centres between the two. And because there's no pictures from the church, they've used the pictures from the parish centre on this homepage for the church. So actually, the banner across the top is some people drinking in the parish centre. Now, to me, you'd be better off claiming the page and putting something up a little less salubrious. But that's where we're at with that. So I didn't want him to know it was on YouTube. But never mind. That was a weekend sorted. So I'm working last night. I was exhausted. My own fault. I shouldn't have stayed up till 10 to 5 on Saturday. But I did. We tried to sort stuff out yesterday and then it got time to go to bed at last. So I packed Mike off first and said, you go to bed and I'll sort the rest out. But what we were actually doing just before bed was looking at the calendar and trying to find space to shove everything. That's why I need 48 hours in a day. Anyway, he toddles off. I carries on for a few hours. I ends up going to bed about 2-ish. Took my phone with me, fully charged, puts it next to me. Not a problem. Lying there. Good job Mike's not here. He wouldn't want me to say this next bit. I had the dog on one side snoring a head off and Mike on the other snoring his head off. I thought, OK, earplugs needed. So I got an earplug out. This is relevant to the rest of the story. Wakes up about 4 o'clock, thinks, why am I waking up? Not a clue. To realise the earplug had gone missing. Now, if the dog got hold of that, she'd probably eat it. So there I am trying to reach round and try and find it. Couldn't find it. Reaches out for my phone. Logic, put the torch thing on it. Wouldn't come on. I'm tapping the screen and pushing buttons. Nothing. For crying out loud. At which point Mike says, what's the matter? So I said, I've lost an earplug and the phone won't come on. I said, leave it with me. So I manages to get outside onto the landing with the phone in my hand. Dead. Totally dead. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened. It's an iPhone 11. It was brand new last September. And it's the second time that it's just died. And it's not flat. It's either fully charged or almost fully charged. And it just dies. It's not locked up. It's dead. It's as if you've actually turned it off. And I never turn it off, not totally turn it off. So I'm there looking at it thinking, yeah, hammer's needed. So 4 in the morning, I stagger into the office. I think maybe if I plug it in, it'll spring back to life. You know, like eternal hope. Yeah, that. So staggers in here with it. Gets it plugged in. Nothing. Dead. Does all of the magic keys. Dead. And by this stage, I'd gone from like, you know, when you wake up and your eyes are all gently darkened. And that. By this time, I'm sat in front of 3 monitors lit up like a Christmas tree. Pushing buttons. No, it wasn't having it. So I ends up having to do the secret manoeuvre. Wasn't having that either. So I thought, right, I'll plug it in. All I can do is just keep repeating that. Because what was going through my mind is, hello, Tracy. What are you supposed to do with an iPhone that's poorly right now? All of the stores are closed. I have no idea if they would arrange a pickup. People are making deliveries, but Amazon are refusing to come and pick stuff up. So I'm cradling my dead iPhone, thinking it's probably got COVID. No idea what to do with it. So I managed to get it on power. Still not having it. So incantations over it for 10, 15 minutes, constantly trying. The secret code is when it's dead, and I mean dead or completely unresponsive, you push the volume up for a fraction of a second, let go, the volume down for a fraction of a second, let go, and then hold the power in as best you can for as long as you can. Buy a new one. Do you know, it's going to come to that, isn't it, Paul? And I still had no joy with that. Well, I thought it's been plugged in long enough now that if the battery had just suddenly drained, there would be enough power in it. But no, wasn't having it. So I left it another 10 minutes. Then I tried the secret code again. And I thought, I'm just going to keep doing the secret code. And I tried various variations of it, you know, holding it a bit longer, trying to push it like a micro fraction of a second. Eventually, I got an Apple logo. And at this point, I'm holding the power button in and I'm thinking, do I let go? And I'm just looking at it. I thought, I think I should let go. But then if I let go, it might never come back. So I thought, no, let go. Let go, woman. Let it do its stuff. So I let go. It took easy 15 minutes. and eventually I saw my home screen. Wouldn't let me go any further, but I saw my home screen and it's sat there like that ever since. So with it plugged in, I made sure it was fully charged. Then I pulled the plug on it. Then I got it onto my computer. So I plugged it into a cable that got it onto the computer. And I can access it remotely. I can't get into the phone, but I can access it remotely. So all the pictures I've taken in the last like 48 hours, which weren't backed up, got those off. Now I'm just sat there with a brick. The next person that says, why have you got three iPhones, is going to get both barrels. Because obviously, text messages from people not on iMessage, phone calls in the middle of a global pandemic crisis, and my phone's not working. So what I'd have to do is take out the SIM and put it in one of my other phones. That is why it is always handy if you can keep one of your other phones. I haven't done that yet. I've just told people, don't bother. Don't bother ringing. Send a smoke signal. And I'm going to see what I can do with it tonight. So I've done a day's work with it sat next to me, looking very poorly. So we're thinking of putting it in isolation, possibly on a ventilator, and see how it goes. But at the moment, not very well. But I'm liking Paul's idea. Just buy a new one. Good job I didn't spend money on that iPad. You see, Jonathan was right. You can't have money laid out just on gratuitous toys in the middle of a crisis. That's why Apple shouldn't have released it in the middle of a crisis. Just saying, but that's only my opinion. Anyway, in the news in the UK, what's going on? So you let me know what's going on where you are, because I am fascinated. These stories we've got are like, is this a joke? Now, the first one actually is very, very serious. So I'm going to be very serious for a moment. And I ask if anybody has got any spare capacity for prayers or positive thinking to send some to a friend of ours. So I'm going to put the link in. Kim has faith, I'll find a way. Have I tried reinstalling the OS? Can't get far enough to reinstall the OS, Paul. I'm thinking what to do next. Right, that story there. No, I didn't buy the new iPad, Tracy. No, I didn't. Jonathan said he would have done, but didn't think it was wise in the current climate. And I agreed with him. So no, I haven't bought the new iPad. The odds are, but for this crisis, I probably would have done. But no, I'm not in the slightest bit interested in the new iPad. Do I have iMazing? I've got a trial of it, Paul. So I'll have a dabble with that next. But I'm at the point where I'm just thinking, just leave it for the minute. You know, it's not actually, well, it didn't die again. So I'm thinking about that. Thank you, Jonathan. That guy is a friend of ours called Steve Donoghue. And he does some work on the Munich thing with us. We've known him about 2.5 years now. He's a lovely guy. He really is a lovely guy. He's brought together a lot of, they actually support Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich supporters, which was where the crash happened, have put up a tribute to the players who died, and they're looking after it. They're called the Red Dogs of Munich. And he got together with them and things move forward from there. What's terrifying, I mean, if you're reading the story, you'll get the idea of what's happened. What is terrifying is he actually sent a message to all his Facebook friends, so we got it, to say that he had the virus, he was getting worse with it, and that the doctors had told him that he needed to be on a ventilator and the odds were he wouldn't wake up. So to make his peace with everybody. So he sent this note to Facebook and said, you know, it's been good knowing you guys. If I don't make it, this is my goodbye. And that was the last we heard of him. His family have kept us up to date since then. So that was, when was that posted? The 29th, that was only yesterday. This happened 3 days ago. So he's been on a ventilator now, unresponsive for 4 days, going into 5 days. So any positive thoughts you have would be most welcome. His family don't want anybody ringing, etc. So we're just in limbo waiting. They need to keep the phone free because obviously they can't go visit him. So they need to keep the phone free. But they're sending out one message a day to one person and that person is passing it on. So, yeah, bad news. Bad news, that. So that's one of our sad stories. Then we go into more disgusting stories. This one, Jonathan, I'm assuming you've read some of these because they're all from our local paper, the Manchester Evening News. This is what's happening here. And I wonder about the logic of it. Thank you, Kim. Thank you. NHS worker, so that's our National Health Service, a nurse, spat at twice after a 10-hour shift on the way home. These people walk amongst us. Who in the right minds would do that? Friend's name is Steve. Steve Donahue. Poor guy. He's such a lovely, lovely guy. Yes, he's got two children and a wife who is absolutely petrified at home. It really brings it home to you when it's somebody that you know. You know, the government stand there bandying around figures and you're like, oh, that's horrific. You know, but when it's somebody you know, it's like, whoa. It's on a different level. It touches you on a different level. Yes, this poor lady spat at it in the face. Not just spat at in the face. You remember I mentioned shoot on sight? Just saying. That was one. And there was another one that's just crazy. Now, luckily, the police did deal with this, but have a read of that one as well. Man due in court after approaching members of the public in a queue outside Tesco. Nothing wrong with that, you might think. Apart from the fact that he was doing the touchy-touchy, feely-feely thing. Wouldn't be dissuaded even after... Thank you, Tracy. That's much appreciated. Wouldn't be dissuaded from this even after the police had a word with him and told him, you know, not on, mate. He carried on doing it. And he's not a kid. He's 53. So they arrest him. And he's now been charged, because I wondered what with. You know, the lawyer in me got involved. He's been charged with one count of failing to maintain public health and causing public disorder and a nuisance contrary to various regulations of the Health Protection Regulations 2020, and was due to appear in court today. Prison's not good. Prison's too good for them. Can't we just put him on the front line emptying bedpans or something? Because, you know, we can afford to lose people like that, I thought. As if that wasn't bad enough. Mike has been, you're not allowed to go out in multiples here. So Mike's been taking the dog. And what we've done is we've got two different routes. Just in case your neighbours rat you up, because Lola's a very, you know, she's not just like any old dog. People see Lola and they know Lola. She's very distinctive. We need to disguise her. So I said to Mike, look, I don't want anybody saying you're going out twice in a day. I said, but we've got to take the dogs out, for crying out loud. Yeah, what is wrong with people? I know, Kim. This should be an attempted murder at this rate, at the very least. So I said to Mike, have two routes. So literally turn out of the house left in the morning and right in the evening and go two completely different routes. The dog's confused, but at least she's getting out twice. When I spot this next story, I thought, and this is why. This was just a guy going about his business and a couple spit at him and call him a scumbag while he's out exercising. And these are not rough areas. This is just criminal. Criminal. He was using his daily exercise to visit his 84-year-old grandfather just to talk to him through a window. So they weren't meeting up or anything. He tried to explain he was on his daily exercise, but this guy spat at him from a car window. So I said to Mike, OK, these walks that you're taking the dog on, I said, can you keep off the main road now? I mean, how dangerous would it be for somebody that you have no connection with spitting at you? And again, these aren't kids. These aren't 14-year-old kids having a laugh. This is ridiculous. Oh, so those were those stories. But then there's the crazy ones, and this one's a classic. Oh, put 20 to a set, at least, Jonathan, at least. Communal toilet facilities as well. This one's more of the insanity things, just a laugh. A guy was bored at home. So now, again, how old's this guy? Because it's not a kid. This is not a kid. No, it's a guy. No age on him, I don't think. But he's a grown man who takes his car, little motorised car, with him and sits there with a remote control running it round an empty car park. Now, fair enough, there's nobody else there, but what are you doing leaving the house? So the police have to move him on as well. Seriously, the police have got more to do than this. And tell me this is happening near you. Tell me I don't just live in a bubble of insanity in Manchester. Tell me this. I think he should take an umbrella. What my dad used to do, Kim, and I thought he was insane, but then I got it. He had a walking stick, my dad. Not a walking stick as in he needed help with a walking stick. The kind of tall staff-like walking stick that you would take out on a hike with you. It actually looked very rustic, this thing, but it was huge. And he started taking it with him. I said, what are you doing with that, when he took Mayer out? And he said that other dogs were let off leads. Now, we never let Mayer off the lead. Samoyeds have no sense off a lead, as Lola proves. Lola will come back to you. Mayer would have just been in Aberdeen within 5 seconds. But even so, other people are scared of dogs. And although both of our dogs have been full of fun and just want to play with everybody, other people are scared. So to let them off, even in a park, I certainly wouldn't let a dog off a lead out of a park. But even in a park, it can be quite dangerous. But what had happened was somebody else had let their dog off a lead and it had boldly marched over and had a right old dabble with Mayer. So my dad said, you know, I got between them, but there wasn't much I could do to fight this dog off. So he said, so I'm taking this stick with me, you know, and if it comes to it, I'll defend him with this stick. And he took that stick with him until he got that frail. He couldn't, well, the dog was stronger than he was and he couldn't really take him out. But Mike started taking it and there was a dog locally called Cameron. Now, at the time, David Cameron was Prime Minister. I know we've had 20 odd of those, but this was David Cameron. And this woman would let him off the lead. In fact, he seemed to be permanently off the lead. He terrorised the park. So Mike just had this big stick, and obviously he wouldn't want to hurt an animal, but he had to let it be known to the dog that he had this stick and that he would use it if need be, just to dissuade the dog from attacking him and Lola or Mayer or Ollie. And she'd just stand at the door of the park screaming, Cameron, you're a very naughty boy. The dog was having a whale of a time. He totally ignored her. So I totally agree with you. They're going to dig this big stick out again. It's criminal. People spitting at you, people running around. Now, round the corner, the park that Mike does take Lola to is actually a 9-hole golf course. So people are probably round there playing golf as well. Is this really happening? Now, in that, I'm sure, Jonathan, let me know. Have you heard about that? Jonathan, let me know before I put it in. Have you heard about the one? This is like the Englishman, Irishman, a Scotchman joke. Have you heard the one about the bloke on the M6 with the wife and the windows? Just a yes or a no, Jonathan. This is in our local paper. There's a subtitle underneath the headline that says it all. It's in our local paper because the motorway in question, or the highway as you may call it, goes right through Manchester. So that's why it's in our paper. But it actually involves a couple from a place called Coventry, which is near Birmingham, which is about 100 to 120 miles from us, and Salford, which is about 8 to 10 miles north of us. So we're looking at a round trip there of 220 miles. Don't know if Jonathan's there. Can't see a yes or a no yet, Jonathan. So I'm going to tell you what the story is. I'll put the link in as well. This guy from Coventry gets in his car with his wife. They travel 110 miles north on a deserted motorway to pick up some windows he'd bought. And I'm presuming he means glass ones, not windows, windows 95 upwards. Pick up some windows he'd bought on eBay. And then travel home with them. Not good at any time, but it gets worse than that. I'll put this in so you can see the headline. This is just unbelievable. On the way back, he piles the windows in the car. There's no room for the wife. Not a problem. He sticks her in the boot and carries on. So he drives back to Coventry with the windows on the back seat and the wife in the boot, or the trunk, as you may call it. There are no words in terms of stupidity. Can we grade these people on stupidity? I read it and I thought, is it April the 1st yet? But apparently not. It's a true story. So he ended up with what's called a TOR, a T-O-R, which is a transport-related summons. And again, not a child, 54 years of age, this bloke. Really? Apparently so. So he has now got to appear. This is just so funny. Is this the same bloke? Let me have a look. This is another one that's at the bottom of that, where police in Stalybridge, which is about 12 miles to the east of us, he ignored lockdown and returned to the streets 10 minutes after police officers had escorted him home for the second time. So he's now got to appear at the magistrates' court today. Ah, these people. Now, scandalous, you'll like the last one. All of these stories were in our local papers just today. This one's scandalous, and it makes no sense, to be honest, but I saw it first on the front cover of one of our national papers. Now, our national papers are notorious for being comics. They're not really newspapers, they're comics. And I know, Jonathan, you couldn't make it up. I'm just wondering about the woman in the boot. Sadly, there was no picture of that. And I'm not making it up. These are genuine. But the next one was all over the front of one of our national papers. But our national papers are, like I say, rags. And I thought maybe they've pushed it a bit. But the next one's even sadder, Jonathan. Oh, honestly, this one, it turned out to be true. Hello, Anthony. We've done some sad stories. We've done some seriously, did that really happen stories. And now we're on to the, this one's just beyond description. I forgot, excuse. I was desperate as a child, Jonathan, to use the dog ate my homework excuse, but didn't have a dog. Have now and can understand the dog eating your homework. No, this last one is just unbelievable. This one is to do with all of the panic buying that must have gone on about 10 days ago. And these photographs have actually come from a publicity department in, I think it's Greater Manchester's mayor's office. But the photographs themselves were actually taken by bin men who were out collecting the bins. And look what's in the bins. Have a look at that. There's a green bin. Now, the rule is, if your bin lid does not close, the bin men won't empty it. I know that's counterintuitive because next week there'll be more rubbish. But the bin lid is up so you can see what's in it. And if you scroll down a bit, you can see there's also stuff next to the bin. They definitely won't take anything next to the bin. Our bin collections are scientific. Seriously. Mike met while he was out with the dog about 3 weeks ago. The bin inspectors. I said, what were they doing? He said, inspecting the rubbish. I said, so not the bins. He said, no, actually what was in the bins. They were looking inside the bins and then issuing summonses based on you've got this in the wrong bin. So to see this, one, it's disgusting. But if you scroll down further, there's one from somebody called Ballydonna. And the bins are full of tins. And these tins are in date. So as this person says, why throw this away? If you don't want it, you could give it to a local food bank who would snatch your hand off for it. In fact, some of the stuff that's in that bin, so would I. We had a delivery today that has been planned for 3 weeks because it was the only slot we could get. We had food for us on it, food for Lola on it, obviously toilet rolls on it, and a few other bits and pieces. So it arrived, and honestly, even arriving, let me know if this is happening where you are. But normally it's one guy in a van, and they have two sections in the van. They have one section that's like plastic boxes with non-perishable food in, and they have another section that's the frozen food section. And they have some kind of system going on where they know where your shopping is. And under normal conditions, they would drag it out of the van and they'd bring it for older people or anybody who wants it. They'll actually bring it into your kitchen and stack it up for you if you want. At the minute, they're coming nowhere near your house. They'll sort of drop it midway on the path. But there's always only one driver and the one driver does everything. Mike said as he went down, he opened the door an inch and said, you know, how are we doing this for your safety? Mike had a mask on. Mike had a pair of disposable gloves on. On the other side of two doors that were each open an inch, the guy had gloves on, the guy had a mask on, and he had a hat on. And he had a buddy with him. So they're now sending them round in twos. Story turned out to be they're being robbed on the rounds of food. So they can now no longer go round in ones because they're being hijacked as they go. So one guy has to keep his eye on the food and the van, while the other one drags it halfway up the path. So he got it virtually to the front door, probably about a metre from the front door, and then said, I'll knock on the door and let you know when I've got everything. Mike said, I'll take the dog into the garden. So he's talking to the guy who's at the van, obviously 5 metres apart, and found out what was going on. So while you're desperate to get anything here, other people are throwing stuff away like that. These people are subhuman. They are worse than animals. Animals do not behave like that. Animals look after other animals and humans. And the people who are, robbing delivery guys, exactly, Tracy. On what planet? Because their next delivery could be your granny. That's how you have to think about it. Absolutely insane. So when we got the delivery in, Mike already knew what was missing. We were hoping for some lamb mince, nothing. We'd banked on, at this stage, getting the dog food. It was 3 packs of 10 tins. Didn't have any. So thank God for Nina. Seriously, thank God for Nina last Friday. Otherwise, the dog would be eating the steak. No toilet rolls. Thank God for Nina, is all I can say, because she got toilet rolls too. It's just insanity. It's absolutely insanity. I totally agree, Paul. We should have emergency looting laws. And I really would. You know, like when they say, would you be prepared to pull the switch, press the button, whatever? Yes. Would I be prepared to shoot somebody doing that? The answer to that is yes, I would. Give it me and I would quite happily do that. It's obscene. Hello, Simon. Hello. We're venting at the moment over the state of the world. The thing is, if they have to send 2 delivery drivers out with every delivery, that explains why there's only half the delivery slots available and no one can get any. Last week, you remember the order I placed? I took some photos. It arrived on Friday. The excitement. No dog food, but never mind. Nina did that. We did manage to get some stuff, like water and things like that. That was placed at midnight Wednesday, Thursday. So Wednesday night, Thursday morning. But I had 2 baskets of stuff. Now, I wasn't being greedy. I'd just put stuff in the basket, air quotes, the basket. And Amazon had split it and said, that's in one basket and that's in another. One would come via Morrison's, which is a supermarket in the UK, and the other one would come via Amazon. So I got checked out on the Morrison one, no problem. I am still sat here with the items in the basket and I can't get a slot. 5 days and counting. Not surprising, is it, when they've only got half the slots available because the drivers are being mugged. And they don't carry money or anything. This is for food and toilet paper. It's come to this. I mean, honestly. Right, let me go back up a bit. I'm so glad that your supplies aren't affected, Tracy. I listen to the news and I hear about Spain and Italy and it's just heartbreaking, the state that they're in. We haven't even reached that point yet. I'm still hoping natural selection will kick in myself, but fingers crossed. Hello, Deborah. I know it's alarmingly early, but thank you. You're here. Are masks in supply in the UK? You can get masks via Amazon. I don't think there will be any other suppliers actually open. All the new suppliers would be going to the NHS. But we already had some masks in from 2 sources, actually. One was Mike, who did buy some face masks when he was ill. And he said, I don't want to infect you, so I'm going to walk around with the face mask on. And he did. So we had a supply of those. Then we lost them, so we ordered another lot. I think they come in either 50s or 100s. But they are now, the ones that Mike bought, on back order. So yes, technically you can place an order. You can have 3 packets of 50. They are £12.18 each. But here's the kicker. The delivery date is the 15th of May to the 3rd of June. The other kind that we have in are a bit sturdier. They're not at sort of respiratory level, but they are the kind that you use for DIYing when you're doing saw work, when there's dust in the air. Now, my mum used to buy those and she bought them in packs of 3, but they are very sturdy and reusable. And she did the same. I think she lost them then I had to go and get more. And we've got a few packets of those as well. So we have some supply, but not much. And I don't know whether you would get it or not. That's from Amazon. Nowhere else would supply them to the public, I don't think. You don't want people who behave like this having kids. I know, Jonathan. Not only do they walk amongst us, they breed as well. They should be at home, homeschooling. How can they be bored? They've got kids to entertain. Go and deal with it. Oh, Mike's lovely when he's ill because he does tend to get whatever it is first and then infect me. So that was why he got these masks and they're in his wardrobe. And he does. He sleeps in it, which must be very uncomfortable, and wanders around the house in it every day. Only taking it off to blow his nose or give himself a breather for a couple of minutes. And then when he's back in the office, he puts it on again. I would do the same if I caught it first, but I never seem to catch it first. It always seems to be him who catches it and then gives it to me. Rather than Washington Post, you can make them and they're just as good. Oh, what are you making them from? I've got J cloths. They're like very thin cloths and the fabric is very similar. So, yeah, I reckon you probably could. Another thing I've seen people doing, and they were doing this in our chat group on Friday when we were Saturday when we were doing the radio show. There's a way that you can use underpants. I hasten to add, I'm assuming they're clean. You pop it over your head with your head through one leg or something, and then you wrap it round and twist it and then put the rest over your head. The thing was, the guy on the list had tried it with a pair from Next, and all you could see across his head and under and over his mouth was Next on the elastic. You can make them from baby wipes. Now, baby wipes we do have as well. The reason we have baby wipes, we didn't used to have baby wipes until we got Maya. Never mind for babies, they're very, very handy for dogs. So we actually do have quite a few wipes like that. So yeah, that's a good idea. What we have done with things is when we found a packet that have gone quite dry, we'll kind of re-moisten them with something. But actually, if they were quite dry, that wouldn't actually be a bad idea at the moment, would it? Yeah, so one thing we could do, the pieces of elastic that go over your ears. In fact, I think Mike's tie on. I think he's got some that are elastic and some that tie on. But if you could take the ties and put them on there, that would be a good idea as well. So doctors can't get masks. Oh, Kim, this is... I'm wondering what somebody would do if they had searing toothache, like an abscess, because all of our dentists are closed. They have put a notice up saying there's an emergency contact. But as I said, I don't want another doctor, another dentist. So I'm studiously... My teeth will fall out because I'm brushing them that much. I studiously, seriously do not want to get there. So they're sharing with each other. We do have a national supply chain. It's the, what's it called? Procurement Department of the NHS. And I know a lady who works for them. And each person has been given like one item that's needed and go find it. And hers is hand sanitizer. And she said, I had no idea that hand sanitizer would become like the thing in my life. I've got to get the hand sanitizer. Other people are doing the mask thing and other medical equipment that's needed. And then they are arranging for deliveries to all the dental practices and doctors. So that's what's going on here with that. Was it over there? Mercedes is doing a CPAP machine. Yes, they are. Formula One. So I believe they are. It's been all over the news all day today, Deborah. It's actually being used right now. So it's not actually being given clinical approval. It's in a trial stage. But what they've actually said, what would normally take years will take no more than days this time. Mr. I think that was on the BBC. Let's see if I can find that. It's a very tiny machine. It's not actually a ventilator, this. You don't actually need to use it in that way. You use it before the thing kicks in. And that way the patient doesn't need sedating and you can stay awake with it. So let me see if I can find it. Formula One it was. In the midst of all these stories that we've already shared, that's like, really? I don't see that on the BBC homepage. I'll tell you what, it might be under tech, because it was a very techie story. Oh, there's a story about Zoom. Oh, my word, this gets worse. You finished, Mike?
I've finished.
Whoa, is everybody happy with the...
Ducks to water.
Ducks to water, that's what we like to hear.
Am I on?
Are you on? Not if you don't plug your cable. Oh, you've plugged your cable in. Wonders will never cease, he's plugged his cable in.
Really?
Yes, you are, you're on.
Right. I've been teaching 15 Catenians about Zoom.
I said you had. This is, I'm looking for the story, you know, that Formula One story that's been rumbling on all day. But I found this one, which is even worse. People are being sacked by Zoom. They're going into a Zoom conference and it's at, they have no idea they're going to be sacked. Really?
Yeah.
God's sake. Tonight's turned into a bit of a rant, hasn't it, people? It's like a rant with Elaine, but all night. Right, let's have a look where I was.
Well, how else are they going to sack them?
Why are they sacking them? The government are going to cover 80% of their wages. Do the decent thing. Basically, don't be virgin. Right, your dentist has seen emergencies.
I can tell you a story about somebody getting sacked.
Go on, go on.
It was, I won't name the company.
No, probably don't.
But it was a small software company that I used to work for.
Oh, okay. There it is, I found it.
And they were laying people off left, right and centre at one point.
Before this or when this started?
Years ago when I worked there.
Oh, right.
They were laying people off left, right and centre. And this guy, sales guy, was in a meeting with a client and he got pulled out, told he was being made redundant and got asked to go back and finish the meeting.
I know what I would have said. Oh, my God. This is just criminal. Right. All right. I put that link in. It's Mercedes Formula One to make a breathing aid.
Dear Mike, you are absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much.
Oh, is that Kieran?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Good. Yeah, I've just put the one in about the breathing aid. It's like, is there a picture of it? It looks like a small audio device. You know those kind of switches you see for HDMI connections? It was blue. It had like ports on both sides with some knobs on it. Shane Pete's not here. He'd probably describe it way better than me. And you've got pipes that go into it on either side and then you move the knobs. So it was, you could hold it in your hand. It was very small. Then there's the usual mask stuff and all the piping on the patient. But the patient was awake on a phone. So that hopefully that will work. They're supposed to be having them put in place next week. It's amazingly fast as well. So they're going for next week for that one. But yeah, that was good to see. It was. Worse than Phil Collins dumping his wife by fax. Do you know it'd happen by fax, wouldn't it, if they could? But they're long gone.
No, they're not.
What?
Faxes.
You've still got faxes?
We haven't.
Oh, the FA have.
The Premier League have. And
the Premier League
have.
Run the thing with faxes, don't they? The thing with Phil Collins dumping his wife by fax, they got back together. Many years later, they got back together.
And did they get back together by
fax? I don't know if it was by fax.
By fax? Or was Well, maybe it was text message.
Oh, my God. Oh, Tracy's seen a video where you can make masks. Now, Jonathan's been shopping for his nan. Isn't that good?
Jonathan's been shopping. Is that like shopping with Jonathan?
It's shopping with Jonathan, that. Yeah, but there was a, oh, and you hadn't cleared the chat. So don't go all the way back up. There was stuff in the chat from last night. Oh, and they're all praying for Dono. Told them about Dono. Sent the link for that. Here we go. I'm going back up here trying to find it. Jonathan couldn't believe that YouTube were making a claim on hymns. Oh, yes. What else did we talk about? Hang on. Window's moving. And the chat isn't moving. Not good. Ah, there we go. There we go. Right, let me get back to the older ones. Ooh, that's handy. Got a pop out for the chat now. It's huge. Whoa, that's much better. It's got all last night's chat in it, but that's much better. It was a melon, wasn't it? It was the melon. I'm sure it was melon. I'm trying to find here. Here we go. I'm there now. Yeah, they didn't have the right type of melon, but he redeemed himself with a toothpaste. Isn't that how you feel in your life? They didn't have any dog food, but I managed to get this.
Talking of dog food.
I've told him that.
What?
Is this the one that arrived today that didn't?
No. Go I was on. Going to say talking about dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I love the picture that Kim put on Slack.
Oh, Kim, that was fabulous. I noticed there wasn't a picture of Kiva. Is it a masterpiece, but in progress?
Because Kiva's hiding.
I'm not surprised, poor Kiva. Can you imagine if we tried that? We were seriously contemplating a grooming for Lola. She's got an ear knot. For the uninitiated.
Actually, she's got two ear knots.
She has, actually. She's got one on each side. Samoids always have ear knots. But she's got two on the other side. Now, an ear knot, uninitiated, they have very, very soft fur behind their ears. And they always get an ear knot with it. When Maya first arrived and we'd never had a dog, I'm petting him and stroking him and I felt this like lump. I went into a complete tailspin. I thought he had a tumour. Until I realised, Mike came in and went, oh, the dog's got a tumour. And he was like, no, it's an ear knot. Calm down. So the only thing you can really do with an ear knot, unless you've got an incredibly patient dog and you could sit there and unknot it, is cut it off. But obviously it's near the ear and we don't want a Picasso moment. So we've left her with it at the minute, I must admit. Right, I'm going down to the bottom now so I can catch up here. Right, here we go. Oh, poor Kiva. Poor Kiva. Do you know, even if those masks aren't recommended, you've got to feel they're better than nothing. The ones that I've seen that people seem to, in the health professions, seem to think are the best are those like big plastic things, like a visor that covers from the eyes down. It sort of sits on the head.
Yes, a Van Gogh moment.
It's a Van Gogh moment, absolutely. Fax machines are still popular in Japan. Well, I have no idea. We never had a physical fax machine, but we did have fax software. In fact, I bought an Apple modem when they sold modems just to send faxes with. And then
they broke it.
They broke it. Nothing wrong with this modem. You could use it today, but for the fact that Apple ripped support out of the OS. Mm. So I've now got a useless ornament that used to be...
Heard that one before.
Yeah, many times. That used to be a fax machine. Oh, good grief. Solicitors routinely still use fax. They legally acknowledge an acceptable transfer. They were, weren't they? They also used to have a system many moons ago called DX, which was a document exchange, and it was physical. And it was a bit like the post, only you used to have, we had a DX room, and it had like pigeonholes in it. You would put documents in the DX system and they would be guaranteed next day. I think they were accepted as soon as they were picked up. So when they left the building, there was a legal guarantee that that would arrive the next day. And we used to do that with loads of stuff. It's like preferential post is today, isn't it? Oh, I do mean Van Gogh. You're right, not Picasso, Van Gogh. No, that's the fella. I'm not into art, really, am I? You can tell, can't you? I know a Monet, though, when I see one. Oh, and the other fella. What's he called? David Hockney, as Jonathan will remember. Oh, they used to own DX. Interesting. I must admit, I didn't take much notice. You just used to stamp on all your documents as you put them in the envelope via DX only. On the front of it and then send it down to the post room. But that system seemed to work incredibly well. I would have thought they'd have gone digital by now. Oh, that's nice, Mike. AstraZeneca have donated 9 million face masks. I saw last week, so had the cast of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
I'm peeved with Grey's Anatomy. I know it's not Grey's Anatomy's fault, but I've a very soft spot for Grey's Anatomy. When it very first started, it was on some weirdy Sky channel that we didn't get. So I'd never seen it. And then when Mum was really ill, she was home for 12 days and I had my iPad in my hand and my Now TV subscription. And I had to stay awake as long as possible so Mike could get some sleep. So I thought, I'll put that Grey's Anatomy on. By this stage, they were on to like Series 12, 13. I thought I'll start with Series 1, see if it's any good. Got completely hooked. I must have watched Series 1 in a day and a half. And I watched the whole lot. So I watched 12 to 13 series of Grey's Anatomy and I've watched it ever since. And it's always been on Now TV. And the last series has not been on Now TV. So every time I see mention of Grey's, I've got to turn off or turn away from what I'm looking at. I don't want any spoilers and I can't find it on a UK channel. I've no idea where they've put it, but it's not anywhere I can get it. So I'm a bit peeved. I'm going to have to wait until it comes on Amazon Prime or Now TV. But I haven't found it on Now TV.
Now TV.
But plus the fact, at the minute, not got time. You're on DVR and 6 weeks behind. I'm a whole series behind now. I'm peeved about that, but... I think I've seriously got more to worry about, haven't I, than whether I've seen Grey's Anatomy. There was one I saw while I'm waiting for Grey's Anatomy. Chicago Med. And I started watching that. I think there were 5 series of that. And I caught up with that as well. But Rachel, our lovely daughter, was saying that she'd been watching it and there was a bit in it where there was a crossover with something called either Chicago PD or Chicago Police, one or the other. And it was a nasty case of, what's that disease called? The one that's the skin eating disease. Vile. Well, that came on and I watched it, but I watched it about 3 weeks ago. I'm glad I'm not watching it right now because looking back on it, it's like, yeah, that's what we're building. They had a basement and they'd put in like isolation booths that were just plastic sheeting. That's pretty much what we're building at the moment. Oh, other thing that's happening. You know, we mentioned that Manchester were building a Nightingale Centre. That's going ahead. It's under construction as we speak. So Birmingham are getting one. Manchester's getting one. And now today it was announced that Glasgow's getting one. Grays is on Prime Video. It, at least it is there. I noticed it was on Prime Video, but it always seemed to be the old series. So let's have a look. Prime Video UK, Amazon. Here we go. Let's see if I can find it. I think I saw up to season 13 or 15. But let's have a look. I would very much like to watch that. Oh, hang on. 15. What's the latest series? Can anybody let me know? I've got 14 and 15, 13, 2, 3, 11. I love it that they put them in order. 12, 1, 8, 4. Come on, Amazon. And then 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah, maybe not. I think I'm going to take a leaf out of Pete's book, you know. Pete watched ER and then decided to become a doctor. I mean, that is so not happening to me. But I might be tempted to re-watch ER.
Well, you probably watched Leo McKern's thing.
Rumpole of the Bailey. I watched Rumpole of the Bailey and decided to become a barrister. Yeah. Actually, that happened before Rumpole of the Bailey. That happened because my teacher, now let me work out what grade it would be, because we had a whole different system going back then. I was 1, 2, 3, year 3, I think, which is when you're 8. So I was 7 or 8 years old, and my teacher, who I absolutely loved, she was fabulous, Mrs. Roddy, she was amazing. Her daughter came in, and she'd just qualified as a barrister. So she wandered in, and she had a bag, a fabric bag, like a drawstring bag, that looked beautiful, and a tin, and I was fascinated. She opened the bag, and out came her gown. She opened the tin, and out came the wig, and she put them on, and she explained what a barrister did and what the law was all about, but that you had to work hard and you had to go to university. And I took one look, and I thought, that's what I want to be. And I never changed my mind from that. Apart from the time I was slightly tempted to become a policewoman.
I was just going to mention that.
But there was reason for that. Mum said no to a dog. So I thought if I worked for the police in the dog department, I could get a dog. So there was this careers night and you could put down 3 things. So I put police, law. I can't even remember what the third one was. So went along to the law one. Yeah, pretty much knew all of that. Went along to the police one thinking, bring it on. Faster I get a dog, the better. And he said, right, well, at 16, you go to cadet school. I thought, what? I just want the dog. No, you have to be at cadet school for 2 years in London, in Hendon. I thought, OK, fair enough, could do that. And then he said, and every morning you get up at 6 o'clock and go for a 5-mile run. And I literally went, OK, cheers for that. I'll move on to the next room now. Because that's so not happening.
No, I was going to go back to what you were saying before about school. So you had a barrister come.
Yep.
To bring all our stuff. We had a blind person.
With a dog.
A guide dog.
Mm.
Yes.
I just wanted the dog. But apparently, not only at 16, if you join at 16, you don't have to do cadet school if you join older. But at 16, you've got 2 years at cadet school, which basically sounded like the army, but worse. And then you have to be a constable for 2 years. Then you have to apply for the dog service and basically the line's as long as your left leg. So I fast went off that idea. And went to University of Redlaw and came out the other end and decided that would be a good idea. How many wigs do barristers have? Now, Kim, they tend to buy just one. And they tend to keep that wig for as long as. So some barristers only ever have one wig. Now, there is reason for this. When you get the initial wig. It's made of horsehair and it's white. It's beautiful white horsehair. Obviously, keep wearing that day in, day out, so virtually every day of your working life. It starts to yellow, shall we say. But there was a kudos in that. The older that your wig looked, it was a kind of sign of the more seniority that you had. So you would find people in their 80s that would have these wigs and you'd think, oh, good grief, it looks like it's been dragged through a hedge backwards. But that was actually what they wanted. They wanted that. So you tend to buy it straight away. You get your gown and your wig from a place in London on Chancery Lane. There's only one place, which is called Ede and Ravenscroft. And you go in and you have your fitting. And then you go back and you pick up your gown in this beautifully embroidered bag with your initials on it. They are very expensive. Absolute arm and a leg. Is that Eden Ravenscroft or is that another one? In my day, it was Eden Ravenscroft. And they were not cheap. They weren't. So you get your bag, which, like as I say, is beautifully embroidered. And then your wig is given to you in a tin and you cart it around with the...
Like a biscuit tin,
yeah. You cart it around with the... Basically, you put your gown and you put your tin with your wig in it inside the bag. Now, as you can see from that picture that Jonathan's put up, there are different kinds of wigs. The longer ones are judges' wigs. They do look literally like a rug, don't they? But the traditional barrister's wigs are on there as well. So as you can see, £425, £325. Yeah, that'd be about right. About £425. I think in my day, they were about £350. There's the gown that you would buy. And in addition to the gown, that comes with the wig, doesn't it? And the band. The band is the thing that you see around the gentleman's neck. It's like a collar. What's interesting to our Australian contingent here, if you ever watch an English legal series, you will tend to see, unless the actor really creates over it, that in England, you are not supposed to have any of your own hair showing at the front of the wig. So you would basically have to scoop your hair back and then put the wig on. In Australia, I've never seen an Australian legal drama where they've not got hair showing at the front. I'm assuming the rules must be different in Australia, because to be accurate, in the UK, the hair should be pulled right back out of the way. Did you get those instructions, Jonathan? Not a hair to be shown. Not a hair. But I know in America, they don't go in for this kind of foolery. They just wear normal clothes. But in the UK, not a hair to be seen. That's how it's supposed to work. So, yes, after I'd made that decision, I then did watch Rumpole of the Bailey. Up to 2,300. You got the same instructions too, absolutely. I think they were more stringent with the girls because the girls were far more, but my fringe. But no, it's all got to be scooped back out of the way. But I think that's good. I think it levels the playing field. I think that's partly the idea. It's an acknowledgement of you being subservient to the law, basically, that you are all clones of each other. Other interesting thing, Jonathan could probably tell you this as well, but another interesting thing with that gown is on the back of it, there's a pocket. Not a pocket like low down where you would put your hands in it. You wouldn't be able to reach it. It would be about 10 to 12 inches underneath your collar or your hairline. And it's a little pocket that sticks out. And that pocket was there because many, many moons ago, there is a rule called the cab rank rule that if a case comes your way, you take it. You do not just pass it on because you don't fancy it. You just take the next thing, as in the cab rank, where you just pick the next taxi. And some defendants, shall we say, were more wealthy than others. And what that pocket was for the defendant that you're defending, who's behind you in the dock, to put money in. That was how they paid you. They put the money in the little pocket at the back. There you go. Aren't we educational here? Take questions on that. Me and Jonathan together, yeah. Take questions on the law. It is very, very strange, but that's still there. It could be one of my specialist subjects. Yeah, I always found that very strange, but yes, that's true. That's what they used to do with it. I can honestly say I've not seen it done lately, but the last time I went into court with a barrister, And now, at the time, well, not the last time, but at this time, I was a student and I was working in Chambers for a week. Chambers is like a legal firm, I guess, only it's a grouping of barristers. They work together as a cooperative, basically. They pay a certain amount of their wages to pay for a clerk, and the clerk works for the group of barristers. So I was in Chambers for a week and we went out to represent somebody, and we'd been longer than we thought. And of course, I'm a student, so I'm not being paid at all. I have no grants. I am not being paid and I have to pay my fees. Hence me having a job in Manchester when I was trying to study in London. And we goes to pick the car up. We comes out the car park and he says to me, "I haven't got enough money." I said, "What?" He said, "I don't carry money in the cells, that they might mug me." I thought, that's really having confidence in your clients, isn't it? I said, "Here," I had to give my principal the money for the car park because he didn't have any for not carrying it. Yeah, that's what it was like being a law student. Can you see why I left? Computers are far more predictable. Apart from my poorly iPhone, it's not predictable in the slightest, I'm afraid. So last night got more chaotic. Today was even more chaotic. Got no sleep because I tried to get to bed at 2 o'clock, up again at 4, sat nursing the iPhone for 45 minutes before deciding I was going to have to leave it to its own devices. Settled back in bed for a bit, then got up again to find out that all our carefully laid plans had been thrown asunder and our schedule needs rearranging for the week. So that was my day. I'm hoping everybody else's day was far more organised than that. Oh, there's a link there. A link to a legal drama down under. We don't seem to get too much Australian stuff anymore. Not the dramas, anyway.
No, we just get Neighbours.
We've still got Neighbours somewhere. Oh, look at that hair sticking out the front on that picture. No, that wouldn't be allowed.
Looks like Sri Lanka.
You would have to have that pulled back so it could stick out underneath the, as I'm looking at this picture, the curl on the left, which would be the girl's right. It would have to be pulled back all the way under there. Oh, you'd be thrown out of court for that. You would be thrown out of court for that. Oh, naughty, naughty, naughty. No, I've never seen that. No. Janet King. I'm going to look for that online now. I wonder if it's on the other thing, Amazon Prime stuff. It looks like it's only the old shows and the Grey's stuff, although like series 9's available and it's free, the latest ones are also paid for. So in here, let's have a look at that one. Let's find one. The episodes are £1.89 each. That's quite hefty for a series, isn't it? It would, yeah. You can pay for the entire season of season 15 for £22.99. You could get the box set cheaper, pretty sure. Let's have a look. Where are they going up to? They're going up to 15. So is that the latest one? No, I think that's not even the latest series, is it? Nope, it's not. That's the last series that I watched, 15. So I think I'm looking for series 16, which I can't find in the UK. Oh, well, I'm sure it'll get here in the end. How do you clean them? You don't clean them. If we're still talking about the wigs, you don't clean them because you've got this kudos of it looking old. So newer people who are newly qualified people who are looking to look like they are more experienced have been known to kick said wig around the floor to make it look like they've got more experience. Not even joking. Cavanagh QC was great. Now that was based in Manchester as well, wasn't it? I love that. Netflix. I can see I'm going to end up with Netflix at this rate, but we don't have Netflix at the minute. Oh, now The Jury was a fabulous series. Just watch the app. Oh, I have to have a look at that. Oh, how cool. How very, very cool. Modelled on a friend of the family. Rodney, oh, I remember that name.
Rodney Cleven got Grobbelaar off.
If anyone was ever guilty.
Amongst others.
I remember reading an article with John Thor at the time, and he was just coming out of Morse at the time, and he didn't want to go into Cavanagh QC for one reason. He didn't want the wig. And at the time, the Bar Council, which is the organisation for barristers, was contemplating getting rid of the wig. So the guy who, is it Jeremy Childs, who put together Kavanagh QC said to him, oh, they're getting rid of all of that. You know, it's up for debate right now. So he agreed to do it on the basis that there would be no wigs. And of course, the decision went the other way. We still have all the regalia, and he got used to wearing it. But if you notice when you're watching Kavanagh QC, the wig isn't new and shiny, because obviously at his age, it would have been the original wig from back in the day, and it would have been worn, and that's exactly what his looked like.
He also defended Derek Hatton.
So he really did adhere to the cab rank rule. Any criminal that came along, he dealt with it.
John Deed was a good one.
John Deed was a great one. I must admit, I thought it got a bit silly with him and that woman all the time. But I love the legal cases and the way that he got around it. And there was also funny moments in that. I did like that one, I must admit. Although I did think he was better in The Professionals, because I loved that when I was a kid. The Professionals was the coolest programme when I was a kid. Absolutely loved it. So what the plan is for tonight, although that could all change with 5 seconds notice, or is that over-egging it? Mm. Possibly 3 seconds notice, is that Mike's going to finish off all the chat things, aren't you?
Yeah.
So I can see who's volunteered to do what, and I can arrange to have it recorded. And be organised, Mike. Mm. We're into week 3, aren't we? And I don't know how Kim's coped, because Kim's into day 29. And I think by day 29, I'll have probably collapsed exhausted in a heap. Yes.
You're in your element.
I am, actually. I'm certainly not going stir crazy in terms of wanting to go out. I explained while you were out that we'd taken to... I was talking about all the stories about people being spat at in the street. And I said that we'd agreed that you'd go one way in the morning and then another way in the afternoon. I mean, Lola's a big dog. She needs walks. Plus the fact, and getting bigger by the minute. Crafty madam, we got a loaf of bread, as you know, one of our gluten-free loaves. And I said to Mike yesterday, let's have a couple of pieces of toast before we have dinner, because we've cut down on dinner. So Mike said, that's a good idea. So he went off and he got some toast. So he brought it up, put it down. And at that point, Lola's like, I'm here. And she has a treat when we eat. So I gave her a tiny treat and then I gave her a bigger treat and she went and settled. But when Mike went back for the second half of the meal and brought that up, she automatically assumed that meant two more treats for her. Well, the big brown eyes, I couldn't help myself, so I gave them to her. She's now lying outside on the landing, that stuffed, she can't move. So she definitely needs two walks a day.
She'd already had a treat from me.
So that was 5 she managed then. No wonder she can't move. Whenever you go out onto the landing, she likes to guard us on the landing. But whenever you go out on the landing, she usually jumps up. But I went out onto the landing and she didn't move when Mike went out. And when I went out, she took one look at me as though, no, just stride over me. It'll be fine. Poor thing.
See you, Johnny.
Good night, Jonathan. See you tomorrow. We'll head off shortly ourselves. You all help me get through it. Oh, we're here to help anybody get through it, Kim. Absolutely. You've got it tough. It's been longer for you. And we were told yesterday 6 months. They've not backed down from that, I've noticed today. They shepherds hooked the woman off that did the announcement of the 6 months. But basically the story now is it could be longer than that. So I think they're trying to let us know bit by bit, shall we say. But latest is up to a year for it to get back to normal. But I think as soon as they start easing off restrictions, you're going to have pockets of cases popping up. And who wants to be a statistic? As has been seen with our friend, it can hit anyone. And also that guy you talked about, Lanky.
Yeah. The some of you will know the world game of cricket. Certainly the Aussies will. Our American friends probably don't. But we live, what, about 5 or 6 miles away from a major cricket team. It's actually just across the road from United's ground, Lancashire. And their chief executive died today. He was only 71 of coronavirus. So that's sad.
Yeah, they were saying he did have underlying conditions, but even so, it was quite quick.
I'm just looking at Deborah's question.
I was just about to reply to that.
You are and you aren't.
Are you allowed to go out for drives in England if you don't get out of the car? I was just about to say it's debatable because The police are stopping you and asking if your journey is essential. Now, even if you're not going out, because Mike's made the point, the car will seize up. Even if it's not, even if you're not getting out of the car, they would deem it not essential and turn you straight back around and send you home. I think that's going to be the situation for a minimum of 3 weeks, and then see how we go on then. We may be until we get a vaccine. I'd be quite nervous about a vaccine, Kim. I'm naturally nervous about anything medical. They are saying they're working on a vaccine. I think I might have to go for herd immunity on that one. There's always some people that it's contraindicated for. And given the situation has been so serious, I think they'd consider rather, well, we'll give you the vaccine and worry about that later. And I personally have worked on cases of the pertussis vaccine, which took people badly. And the results of that were just catastrophic. So I must admit, I just try to be as healthy as possible. So the idea that there would be a vaccine is good, as long as it has been very carefully tested and not rushed through. You can rush through the equipment, but a vaccine's far more complicated because people react to it in a different way. Like if the vaccine was penicillin, I would be absolutely knackered. That would just not be possible at all, or was related to it. How would you know you were allergic to it until they'd actually given it to you? And my father had a flu jab. He only had one once. Well, actually twice. But it floored him. It totally floored him. And everybody says that can't happen. But we know that that has happened to more than one person. We have another friend who was given it. And she was only about 52 at the time. But she was a smoker, so they wanted her to have a flu jab over the flu season. And she had it. She ended up with kidney failure. She nearly died. And she never really recovered. She's probably now, that was probably over 20 years ago. Mm. And she's still with us, but she was never the same person. She couldn't walk as far. She couldn't do anything. It was terrible. So hopefully they'll do something that doesn't have that kind of catastrophic impact on anybody. But we'll see. Oh, Kim, two neighbours die. It's just shocking. And thinking of it, I think even 2 weeks in for us and 1 week officially, it's still, we're nowhere near the peak of this. And it's starting to be where you do know people and you think, oh my God, it was only however many days since I met that person or saw that person. And it's shocking, absolutely shocking. You make sure you and Kiva stay safe. So you can, Anthony, but short distance and only if you're going shopping. I must admit, I'm not overly keen on the thought of shopping at the minute. I mean, when you hear stories about people deliberately, would you say trying to infect people in the queue? We did, yeah. Where they're spitting at them. Mm. And there was one guy and he was going up and he was just like talking to people and doing touchy, touchy, feely, feely. Coppers told him to bugger off. He did. And then he came back. They ended up arresting him. He's not up in surprised. Court today. Not surprised. You missed this. I suggested shoot on sight. Jonathan yeah. agreed with me. Mm. See what a legal education does for you. That's just dangerous. I mean, if he infected it, even half the people in the queue, and they take that back home to more vulnerable people, it's just shocking. But I must admit, no, Mike and I have not ventured out in the car at all. The day is going to come, though, because there's no way that you can order things like dog food and toilet rolls. I mean, considering that the government want to keep you in, they need to do something about getting food and supplies to people. I've still got this basket full of stuff. It's still got my toilet rolls in it and I can't get the slot. So it's not coming here anytime soon. That's where I am at the moment. But I'll keep trying. And obviously, job for tonight, sort out the rest of the week, which was sorted out yesterday, but has now totally changed, and triage my poorly iPhone that's being a very awkward little thing at the moment. What I've managed to do is give it enough juice so I can't get into it, but it's managed to hook up to the Mac version of WhatsApp. So I can see my WhatsApp stuff, but I can't carry on like this. So going to have to do something with it. So that's on my agenda for tonight as well. So Mike's going to backfill the chat so I can see who offered to do what, and then we'll sort that out and get somebody on live. Because it was fabulous, wasn't it? When we had Johnny on, we had Tracy on, we had Paul on, and we had Pete on. So that was great. So we'll do that. We will definitely do that. But we will be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. I would say you're all invited, obviously, unless you're out. Which I don't think you're going to be. So do join us. do join us. But for tonight, it's good night from me.
It's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time, guys. Be safe out there. That's all that matters.